And it's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour you a cup and join us right after this song.
It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And I say it again, don't give in, friends. But I want to speak to the serpent sons of hell, enemy that monitor our broadcast. You just as well give in. Throw your hat in. You're all over. You've been done in. You've had your day. Every dog has his day. You've had yours, and we're coming. We're not coming to play cowboys and Indians. We're coming to play cowboys and aliens, and we're going to stomp you back into the hell holes you belong. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we come in that blessed holy name, Jesus Christ. Let the enemy know that they're not all gone. They've not all been put asunder. They've not all quit, given in. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, we've already prayed for this broadcast. Make it a powerful one, a blow to the snakes. Fear to Satan himself, and let it be an encouragement to the saints. And those that have not properly prepared for the day that's coming, help them to get prepared now, and let this broadcast work to that end. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Peters, and I got my Radio Ranch Wranglers with me. And I want to tell you that I'm not at the Radio Ranch. Neither is my Radio Ranch Wrangler, Jason. He and I are down here at the LaPorte Church of Christ in Colorado. We got Right and Ready Richard and charismatic, smiling cowboy Kyle up there at the Radio Ranch. You men there? Are you there, Kyle?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Are you there, Richard?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Richard's going to take care of the council, the mixing board. We're just hooked up by phone. Are you hooked up there, Jason?
Yep, I'm here.
And we're all coming here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way it works, we're coffee time at the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We just come together. And we just let the Spirit lead us, and we go wherever we think we're supposed to go in our talks. And I don't know about you people out there, but we enjoy getting together. and having our coffee time at the Radio Ranch Wranglers and getting it out on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Hallelujah. Well, let's just take a pause here and say, who's going to go first? I say let's let Kyle speak.
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
you
know,
agree, Jason?
What's that, Jason?
Jason, you agree? Let Kyle go.
I agree.
I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, but
that's right. No, we're all in with great anticipation. Look,
this
at
is
Kyle
the
right now.
This is the highlight of the week. You know, for me, you know, I love doing the Wrangler show. You know, not just because you know you put your speech on a recorder or whatever, but it's just fun for all of us four to get together. You know, I look forward to that, and I was had the opportunity last night to speak with what you would call the deacon of our church, the Port Church of Christ, and that is John, and we start talking about the destruction that's been going on, you know, and John, he's a kind man. I mean, he's a very kind man. In fact, I wish I was as kind as he was in my heart, you know. And you know, he put out a couple questions, you know, like it's just hard to understand why, you know, and some of these things happen to some of these people. And it is tough, you know. You watch even the Weather Channel, you know, which I love watching the Weather Channel during crisis like this, because they show more coverage than most of the major news networks, you know. And you see people and churches and all kinds of things being hit that you're going, man, I know there's a lot more evil people in the world than those people. You know, why isn't God sending a tornado over there where I know there's evil people, you know? Instead you get these, you know, down to earth, salt of the earth looking type people. But you know, I'm sitting there, you know, while he's saying, you know, boy, it makes you wonder, I'm sitting there, you know, thinking, well, how many chances, you know, does he have to give these people? How many wake-up calls do they have to hear? You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but my children hurt me way more than somebody else's children. I mean, when they don't listen, when they don't wake up, I mean, it affects me a thousand times worse than, you know, some Joe Blow down the street's children don't wake up, you know. And I think our God is that way, you know. I mean, you know, as harsh as it may sound, judgment not only, you know, comes upon those who don't obey the gospel, but it first comes upon the church, you know what I mean?
And it comes on the household of God first.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of my opening thought was you know, that the judgment's coming, judgment is here, and it's going to keep getting worse, I mean, it's according to the scriptures, you know. And I'll start off by reading one little verse here in Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. And, you know, that's a fact. Now, you can have all these faith-only people out there, these faith-only, you know, dirty birds out there that, you know, says you don't have to do anything. Well, you do. You're going to be judged by what you do and what you don't do. So, anyway.
Well, you talk about judgment coming. What we're seeing now, folks, is that the birth pangs are getting more severe and deaths are coming. We were having the hits and people were getting by without dying, but now they're dying. And the scripture that come to my mind this week and I put out on my broadcasting this week is Psalm 78, 34 and 35. It says, when he killed them, then they sought him and returned and searched diligently for God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. And I don't know how many people were killed this week in the Day of the Lord storms, but there was right many of them.
Yeah, last I heard it was over 300, so...
And I think they keep those figures fairly conservative, because when you see these towns are completely gone, wiped out, seems like a low count. Another thing that I think is worth mentioning in regards to the day of the Lord. I woke up the other day thinking about doing a sermon just called Bastards. Now, people hear me use that term and they think I'm swearing, but it's a good King James Bible translation term. And in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the bastards. And it talks about that God chastens his children. And that shows that you're not bastards when you're chastened. And if you look up that word bastard, it means one from an unlawful wedlock. And you see, these bastards out there are still getting by without getting hit too hard just yet, because they're not the children that are being chastised. And I think that's what would fit in with what Kyle just had to say, the fact that there's a lot more evil people, as far as we're concerned, I'm sure, as a people looking at the thing, than what's getting it. But these are his children. He's promised to chastise them for their sin, and now the chastising is getting more severe. Well, I think Kyle did pretty good coming out of the shoot first there. What do you think, Richard?
Oh, I do. He's always a good out of the shoot guy. He always brings up stuff to make you think. That's for sure. And if these faith only people would just read, like that verse that he read in 2 Corinthians 5:10, that we will be judged by what we do and what we don't do. And those are, you know, those are our works. And those faith-only, no-works people, they just, if they would but read their Bible, the ones that are just deceived, if they would but read their Bible and see that what we do, what we don't do, we are held in judgment for those things as well.
Jason, what do you got to say?
I think that, switching gears, I think it's kind of interesting that I was looking up this week, and do you know how many countries there is in the world?
No, I don't.
There's 195 countries in the world. There's 192 members of the United Nations, and there are several countries that don't take part in the United Nations, and then there's one new country that's getting ready to form, and it's supposed to be formed in sometime in the middle of July, and it's going to be South Sudan, which is going to be one of the new countries of the world.
It's going to be what? What's the name of it?
South Sudan. And the interesting thing about it is, okay, we got 196 countries out there, and the countries that we're hearing about, if you turn your TV on, the seven countries that you'll hear the most about is Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, North Korea, Somalia, Yemen, and Libya. And you know what those seven countries have in common?
No.
None of them have a central banking system. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
And we've got troops, a lot of troops in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, or we're looking at going to war with them. And these are the countries that are being looked at as terrorist threats, and they're making an awful big deal about them. And there's only seven of them, and the seven don't have the central banking system. And I just thought that had to have been something. I don't think that's a coincidence at all.
Absolutely not a coincidence. And, you know, as good as Kyle is, I think you've trumped him.
You know, that thought. Doesn't the Bible say, you know, that you're not supposed to put one man above another?
Yeah, it does say something like that.
You know, so Jason's got the most silver spurs, you know, out here at the Cowboy Radio Ranch, and, you know, yeah, and that's, hey, I got to tip my hat off to him.
Yep.
And it's just our job to catch up.
Yeah, if Franklin D. Roosevelt said in politics, nothing happens by accident.
Nothing happens by accident, for sure. You know, the Silver Spur reward, in case you're wondering, folks, is Pastor Peter's always gives the Silver Spur Award to one of the ranch wranglers after coffee time as to what they've brought. But they all do a good job. But that is really interesting what Jason brought there. I had never heard that before, never thought about it before.
It's interesting, and it shows you where, what our nation and what the nations, I guess I would say that the United Nations, assembly of evildoers, so to speak, would look at as a threat. You know, it's all monetary.
Yeah. Money changers. And, of course, those are the ones that Christ came at physically in the Gospels. Did it twice, he did, overturning their tables. The money changers hate him, and he hates them. And the root of all evil is, of course, the love of money. It's just amazing, too, to me, how this spell has, at least when there was the Vietnam War when I was a teenager, there were people protesting it. Now we've become so apathetic that, invade Afghanistan, invade Iraq, invade wherever you want, as long as we got our baseball, soccer, and that type of thing, doesn't make any difference.
Well, and even talk about other worlds, but talk about other, right here in our own country. Did you guys hear about the raid on the Maxis Nutraceuticals this week?
Say again.
There's a company up in Oregon that they help people. They produce health products for autism spectrum disorders, a lot of Alzheimer's products for people that are suffering from Alzheimer's. They come up with some natural remedies that help people with these different diseases, sicknesses. And on the April 14th, dozens of agents from the FDA, IRS, and the FBI raided this natural vitamin company up there in Oregon, confiscated all their product, threw them in jail, and it was because that, when it boils down to it, it's because they were helping people.
Well, people that are listening to us right now, myself and the Radio Ranch Wranglers, join us in prayer. We have greater power than they, and that we must remember. We have spiritual weapons that will destroy fortresses. We have been given the authority to bind and to loose. And when we come together in unison in the name Jesus Christ and exercise our authority, we can call down firepower that's far greater than anything that the FBI, IRS, all the rest of the raiders that came in on this nutraceutical outfit, is far greater. And they need to learn to fear our God. There's no reason for them to fear our God if we don't call upon Him to do what He can do, and we must do what we ought to do, and let's do it right now. Heavenly Father, it's with anger and fervor that I offer up this prayer, and I have those joining me in prayer. And we come against this filthy, vile, son of hell, Babylonian system that wants to promote sickness, death, disease, and death amongst us, that would dare come against those that we're trying to help, trying to give ease to people with the infirmity of Alzheimer's that's been caused by so much of the poison these parasite bastards have put in our systems. So, Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus Christ with a hatred for evil that is even greater than their hatred for good and for Christians. And we hate what has been done. And Lord, these people that work for these alphabet soup gangs, be it the IRS, FBI, or whatever it might be, they think they got such a gravy job. Oh, God Almighty, let them know that they are nothing but a number in the system. They work for an employer that is full of red ink, and that they're on the losing side. Cause fear and terror to come into their lives and let them change and make the right choice. If not, let them go down to the fires of hell that we're putting the rest of them. Now we bind them. Every single one of them. We bind those that have come up with this plot to come against this outfit. We bind those that are behind the scene that have signed the papers. We bind those that carry out their job just saying we just do our job. We bind all of them, Heavenly Father, in the name Jesus Christ. And we bring confusion into their camp. And we loose their power of fear and intimidation that they have on the populace right now. We laugh at them. Oh, Heavenly Father, we laugh at them and we scorn them just like David did Goliath. And we know greater is he that is for us than all of them that might be against us. And we come against them in the name Jesus Christ. They that would continue to try to promote sickness and disease amongst us. We call for fire to come down in that name Jesus Christ to consume them. As we see them bound, we see it being done in heaven right now. Bind every one of these dirty, filthy, vile, bully bastards. Well armed with their bulletproof vests and their helmets and their big guns on an outfit that probably didn't have gun one in the whole place. Oh, Heavenly Father, let them sense even this prayer. And let that binding be going on in the heavens right now. As we do it on earth and we see it, what is done in heaven being done on earth. We come against them in the name of Jesus Christ with this binding and this loosing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Also, very often we hear these stories and then we just don't do anything about it. We can do something about it. But I want to go back to that point that about these countries we've invaded. In this Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine that's being published or printed right about now, volume 5, there's a letter from the mailbag we have in it, and I want to read it. It says, concerning my email about April tornadoes and Japan radiation link. On tonight's TV news, it was reported that there were over 700 tornadoes this month. Texas is full of brush fires. The rest of the USA is flooded. Farmers cannot plant their in their money fields, and over 700 tornadoes in April. Is God angry at us or what? Many parts of America look like war zones. I wonder if someone were to chart our bombing destruction in other nations with damages in our country in areas declared disaster areas. Would one chart line be similar to the other? Could it be the more we destroy over there, the more God destroys here? Just wondering. In the quote.
Good thought.
It is a very good thought. You know, I go clear back there to the day that we invaded Iraq, and we sat there and they call it the shock and awe, and all these bombs going off, and people eating their popcorn and their potato chips, sitting as couch potatoes they were all watching on TV. All these civilians in Iraq, their homes being bombed and all the lighting. Y'all remember that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
We sat there, and we don't think that we're not going to reap what we sow as a nation.
Yeah, we sat there and watched it like a movie, anyway. Yeah. I did, you know. And, you know, what goes around comes around, or like you just said, Pastor, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, he shall reap.
And we haven't changed any as a nation either. Just, what, 6 weeks ago when we went in and bombed Libya, you know, we had to go in and just bomb the living daylights out of them to keep them from killing their civilians.
And then we drop a bomb on, supposedly, I don't know what's going on over there. It could just all be on TV, too. But we supposedly drop a bomb on Gaddafi's palace. And then they say, we weren't trying to hurt Gaddafi. We just wanted to send him a message.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds you of Waco.
Drop a bomb on your house, see if you get the message or not.
It's like one of the guys said, why don't we just send him an email?
Yeah, I'll never forget watching the Waco disaster when, you know, they go in against this guy, this nut job or whatever he was, David Koresh or whatever, for the children. And then they burn the place down and kill the children. I mean, it just makes you scratch your head and go, what in the world? You know?
Yeah, and Texas sat by and watched it. And in our Volume 5 Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine, ladies and gentlemen, we got an article dealing with why the fires in Texas. And those are horrendous fires going on down there. But does anybody remember women and children being burned to death in Waco, Texas? Does anybody remember the beady-eyed bastard governor, son of hell, son of forcing those little 12-year-old and older girls to take Gardasil vaccine? Does anybody remember but a couple years ago how the so-called big brave Texas Rangers came in on a little ranch farming outfit not too far from San Angelo and took those children away from their mothers and fathers? To this day, I don't think there's ever been a conviction on anything. Traumatized those children. Did anybody care? You know, we talked about the... And when that was going on, this is not to break my arm to pat myself on the back, but when that was going on, you didn't hear the Alex Jones, you didn't hear the Beck, you didn't hear any of them say anything about them stealing those white children, supposedly checking their DNA and that type of thing. It was just one preacher that I know of that was crying out against that. And I cried out in the past why there have been fires in California after they passed their fag laws. And now there's fires down in Texas. And as Texas burns, the people in other parts of the land play. They're no different than old Nero of old playing his fiddle when Rome burned. So I'll get off my soapbox there, but we reap as a nation what we sow, and states and localities will reap what they sow as well.
You know, if the people would just read their Bible and see, start at the Old Testament and read through, and then they would see that God is a God of vengeance, that is how he deals with his people. In Ezekiel 9, 9:6 I was reading, and he says, or starting in 5, go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye have pity, and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, and women, but do not touch any man on whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. And so they started with the elders who were before the temple. And I think that ties in a couple places with what we've talked about today. One, that judgment starts at the house of God. And that's where it has to start. And it has to start in godly men's homes as well. And then the other place is that God does deal with his people. And he will utterly destroy them. And it goes on here in Ezekiel and says that. Down in 10, but as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor shall I spare, but shall bring their conduct upon their heads. And it's just payback is really what it is. And it's just a repeating story throughout the Bible of God dealing with his people. And, you know, oh, that his people would see it today.
And let's talk about that, God dealing with his people. We've got all these Baal priest bastards in the pulpits today pointing everybody away from who God's people really are, pointing to these Antichrist Jews over there in Old Jerusalem, saying they are God's chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites. And they got everybody looking over there, and they have misled everyone. And as far as I know, when it comes to a ministry that's got a national and international voice right now, we're the only one that's telling the truth. And the truth is, folks, these Antichrist Jews are not Israelites. They are not the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people that God brought to the North American continent in the greatest mass migration of people ever in the history of man, they are the people. They are the Israelites.
And that was some of their music that we just heard as well. I really like the background music. It was. The Scots music, the pipes.
Sorry about that, guys.
And that type thing.
It's time. It's, you know, well, it's been time, but it's time that our people, the people that you just mentioned, the true Israelite people, get back to being the salt of the earth and the light to the world. You know, I mean, I heard, and I don't know how accurate it is, because, you know, you hear all kinds of things, and I don't know where they get their numbers from. But I heard the old Bible Belt, you know, is number one in the country for pornography, internet garbage, and all that stuff. Now, it's hard for me to believe, because I come from the Northwest, from a city called Portland, which is about as bad as I can't imagine any place being worse than that. But they say the Bible Belt, you know, as far as people going on the internet and going to sites that they ought not to see and all that stuff, you know, it's the worst. And there's a lot of the salt down there that's lost its savor, you know. And it, you know, and it says if you are one of those, you're good for nothing to be trodden on. You know?
Well, we must remember too, men, and as far as the Bible Belt thing goes, that they're a bunch of Judaizers. They're all the ones that are telling how we must support Israel, these Antichrist Jews. And we must love them. We must do this and we must do that. And the scripture I often come back to is 2 Chronicles 19:2, where the prophet said, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and so bring wrath on yourself from the Lord? So it's not surprising that that wrath would fall down on the Bible Belt. That's where a lot of these tornadoes this last week hit.
Well, in that Bible Belt area, too, that's one of the most snake-infested areas down there in the United States. That country's crawling with snakes.
That's a good point.
They're crawling with snakes, too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, out there, you may ask yourself, people, well, how can you escape that judgment that's coming? We just read there in Ezekiel that he does start at the house of God. He starts at the temple and has no mercy except for on those that have the mark. And this is a mark you want to have. You have to be marked. And one of the ways you get that, of course, is repentance and baptism. And then the other way is once that's done, and Pastor, I think you talk about it in this next newsletter that's coming up. But the other way is to abide in him, and that's to partake of communion. And also to partake of Passover. And we mentioned in this newsletter, the newsletter's not going to get out to the people in time. The last one did. But it's just tomorrow and Monday, isn't it, Pastor? The make-up Passover day.
Yes, Monday is the last chance people have for the solar year 2011 to keep the Passover. And that day is so important, folks, that there's a makeup day. The Passover day was April 2nd, but 30 days later, on May 2nd, you can make it up. And on that day, we are going to, at 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, be serving a Passover meal, taking communion is what I'm talking about, and giving a Passover message. And we're going to do live streaming on the Internet. And I guess we'll probably just do it from my office. I could come down to the church to do it. Can we hook up Jason and Richard and do streaming at my office?
Yeah, we stream from there every night.
Well, I'm talking about the video.
Oh, video? Yeah, we could.
So they can see us as well as hear us on Monday night. Let's plan on that, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
It's your last chance if you want to take Passover.
Well, I'm planning on you guys doing that because I'm flying home because my mom decided she wants to take it, you know, and I thought it'd be nice if I was there with her. And I've already explained it to her, but I'd like to go over it a little more, you know, and there's a couple people this weekend I'm going to try to, you know, have a little, what would you call it, a baptism, you know, a little sermonette with them, and they're coming around, and hopefully they'll go through it. But if they don't, you know, that's their choice, you know, but hopefully, you know, there's people out there that'll press this issue. It's very important. I mean, it's just, I can't even explain how important it is. You know, the kingdom of God is coming, you know, and the unrighteous will not be part of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know? And there's only one way that I know of to not be unrighteous anymore, and that's, you know, get baptized, take communion, and then be a part of this Passover.
Good point. Jason,
there is going to be a last Passover, and there's going to be a last time to partake of the Passover meal. And, you know, we don't know, but this year could be it.
That's exactly.
Right. It will be it for many people. It will be the last chance that they get, because there'll be people that if there is another solar year, if there is a Passover available next year in April, there will be people listening to this broadcast that won't be here. And
can you imagine how many people out there just kind of tune in, listen, and say, well, I hear what those crazy guys got to say next.
Yeah.
We sound as crazy to them as Noah must have sounded to the people of his day.
Yeah. Well, how you opened the show, Pastor, by saying, we're not cowboys fighting Indians here. We're cowboys fighting aliens, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, that concept in itself would be kind of crazy to a lot of people.
Absolutely. You know, there's certain...
This week, one of the CDC vaccine scientists who downplayed links to autism was indicted by a grand jury on charges of fraud, money laundering, defrauding research institutions of grant money. And there's this guy who worked for the Center of Disease Control and supposedly did all this research on vaccinations and how they didn't harm anybody. There was no link to autism. There was no link to children getting sick over these vaccines. And now he's getting indicted upon a grand jury against all these charges. I mean, he's got a list of charges here that just goes on and on and on. How he stole money from different... grants, different research institutions, stole money from that was supposed to be used for research, and kind of interesting how he's getting found out now for what a liar and a thief he was.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bind this bastard, this lion bastard, this son of hell, child of the devil, pushing the lies and the vaccine off on these children. God, only you know how many have suffered autism because of the son of a hell. Now, Lord, we bind him. We see it done in heaven. Where there's no hope for him, we loose any influence his lies might have. And we want him buried, Lord. Let there be some justice again in the legal system. name. Amen.
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 Well, praise God. That's pretty good news, Jason.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but, you know, you won't see the CDC coming out and saying, oh, well, this guy falsified everything, so we were wrong in recommending these vaccinations, and we were wrong in linking vaccinations or not linking vaccinations and autism and blah, blah, blah. They'll just, you know, their entire everything they do is built on a lie, but they don't, they never go back and admit fault. They never go back and change. It's just the, you know, the truth is found out. But they still stand on their lie like it's truth.
Well, truth is, folks, in the document called the Protocols of Learned Elders of Zion, one of their points that they make is that they would be inoculating people with disease, inoculations. Now, this preacher in this ministry for over 20-some years has warned people about vaccines, vaccinations. We have a booklet called Warning Vaccinations Are Dangerous. Isn't that the name of it, Richard?
Yes, Warning Vaccinations Are Dangerous to Your Health.
And, of course, the people that have been indoctrinated in this spell, Dr. Gods and get your child vaccinated, they look at it as the ranting and raving of some crazy man. But it's documented there. There's been a lot of scientists and doctors that have tried to get the truth out. But these hellhounds control and or own our media, and it's hard to get out, and then they persecute you when you do try to put out the truth. Do we still have any of those books left by Eustace Mullins, Murder by Injection?
We do. We were able to get a couple of cases. We sent the ones out we had on back order, and we do still have a limited number available.
So there's some of you sitting out there listening. You can shut off that stupid boob tube. You could order the book and read it. Well, my kids are raising that. You got grandchildren. You got people out there. Do you care about anybody? That's a very well-documented book about how these bankers have and the Rockefeller family how they push this vaccine thing. You see, they make money off of, and they're able to control sick and diseased and weakened people.
Well, and it's not just that, but they feed off the suffering and the pain that they can cause a family. If they can make one of your children sick, if they can make one of your children that is healthy and live in a vibrant life and turn them into a vegetable, they not only have created a cash cow for them, but they've dwelled and gotten empowered by the suffering of one of the saints.
They get some kind of satanic jollies out of the whole thing. They're serpents. They're the sons of hell. They're children of the devil. Jesus told us there were such in this land. Well, I've never heard any of my preachers say anything about like that. Well, it could just be that they're one of them. Wake up, sheep.
Maybe they're on the other side.
Yeah. Well, you never know when these Radio Ranch Wrangler broadcasts come on, which direction we're going to go, which wind's going to blow. By the way, there's some of you listening, you might be getting awakened a little bit. We got a little booklet called The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. You can write and request it. And a good read, it'll help you understand how America is the land of prophecy. We also, if you want to start receiving our Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine, you write to us and request it. There's no subscription fee to it. However, it costs us money to print it and mail it out, but praise God, there are some that are faithful in their tithing and their offerings, and we're able to do what we do. And so you have a chance. It's being offered to you. If you're out there, our mailing address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
Pastor, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll just give them a little ad and talk about this book, Greatest
Sounds
Discovery.
Good.
In his first letter to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know," end quote. Modern Judeo-Christian preachers proclaim that our Heavenly Father loves all men equally, but that's totally false and foreign to the Word of God. And who are His true chosen ones, and who are the wicked imposters? Where does America fit in His grand design? To find out, send a $6 offering U.S. funds and ask for this invaluable pamphlet entitled The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. It just might open your eyes to some vast biblical truths hidden in plain sight. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. That's a $6 offering for the pamphlet The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, available from Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Thank you.
And that is a great place to start, that booklet, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age. Pastor, when people call in and ask for starting material, that's sure what we try to send them. And the nice thing is the first scripture, I think, in that book is John 3:16. So it kind of starts on common ground that at least some of the brainwashed Judeo-Christians out there are familiar with. But then I think it really takes them down an entire different path. And show some things in the Bible that they haven't seen, and show some truths. I've got one piece here in Hebrews 13, like Jason said, changing gears here. It says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes and forever. And we know that Jesus was in the beginning, and He was the Word that became flesh, and He was God, and He is God. And we know that He doesn't change. And Kyle, I'll ask you a question. I mentioned something to you in the break. And what does the Bible say when you have about women in the church?
Well, there's two verses that really come to mind. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 14. There's verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And the other verse is 1 Timothy verse 2. Or chapter 2, verse 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
And I just bring that up. I know that that's kind of preaching to the choir to most of us, but we got an email yesterday afternoon, and it was a good news email. And the good news was a lightning bolt hit the steeple of the Mayfield Presbyterian Church in Mayfield, New York, and burned it to the ground. And people may say, well, goodness, why a church burning to the ground? And lightning, where does lightning come from but from God Almighty? And so God strikes this church and burns it to the ground, and we say hallelujah. And there's a couple reasons why. One, and as this Robert that sent us the email pointed out, the Jezebel Reverend Pastorette Bonnie Orth of the church, she was out of town when it happened. So the other Jezebel Reverend Pastorette, Kiriana Riel, had to come and comfort the members of the church. And then when I looked at the news article on it, there's nothing but women in this church that run it. You got the Reverendette Pastorette Bonnie and the associate Jezebel Reverend Pastorette Kiriana, and then it just goes on and talks about how their historian, the church historian, Betty, was out of town, and on and on and on. And it's just nothing but these deaconettes and Jezebel women that are in direct rebellion, according to the Word of God, that are supposed to be quiet in the church. And here they are, talk about the blind leading the blind. But here they are, you know, as the leaders in the church, and God is not mocked. So it's a good news email. Jezebel church destroyed.
Have you guys noticed? You don't find preachers anymore just of a church. You see more and more pictures and posters and stuff like that of the preacher and his wife, like they're a team. They're both pastoring. Has anybody noticed that besides me?
Yeah, I have. I was noticing that yesterday. I got some information that it was looking at from a ministry, and it was a husband and a wife ministry, and it had his cell phone number there, and it had her cell phone number there in case you wanted to call and talk to him.
Yeah, it's happening all over this country.
Well, to, you know, God is a sexist God, and as Richard just said, what he said about women, he's obviously a sexist man. So I'm going to go against the men here. It's time for the men to get out there to get some nuts on them and start being men. I mean, we get, you know, people don't understand, and I probably don't even understand to the point that Richard does, because he's the one sitting in the office getting all the phone calls. There's a lot of men that call this place that, you know, they're just not men. You know, they're ballless. You know, I mean, they let everything affect them. You know, and with that said, I got a little piece of scripture I really need to read, and I take it for myself too. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ our Lord." Get some balls, man. Quit letting every little thing separate you from the Lord. You know, and being stressful and getting your feelings stepped on or whatever, that isn't how men should be.
Amen.
You know, and if you have to go against your wife and say, shut up and sit down, you know, or get out, you know what I mean, then do it.
Amen.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, but she could take my kids, she could take my income, my house, everything I work for. Hey, what's more important, your love for God or the things of this world?
Right.
And it's going to take some toughness on men to put down this dirty, damn, filthy, vile Jezebel spirit that's in our land.
Amen.
And I remember old Paul from Solutions a few weeks back, he made the statement, you know, it's, you know, the women are in these positions because the men aren't men. And
yeah.
Amen to that, you know.
Yeah,
point well taken.
They forget, the men forget that there is a proper order. And it's not that Christ is the head and then the man and the woman stand arm in arm and, you know, are equally there. The responsibility for the woman is on the man, at least in the household. The responsibility on the wife of the
wife. Well, we got these young men today and young ladies. They don't know what a normal family should be.
Right. Right. No, they don't. It is that bad out there. It really
is. When it talks about the virgins trimming their wicks, that word trimming the wick, as I've preached before, means in the Greek putting things in proper order. And we've got to get this order back, get our country back. And these women need to be put back in their place, which wherever Christianity, true Christianity went, the women were lifted up and put on a pedestal. They were, you take third world countries, they're nothing more than beasts of burden or ewes or chattel.
Right.
But where Christianity went, they were lifted up and they were cherished. And they were put on a pedestal. And they were deceived with this so-called woman's lib thing. But to get undeceived, you know, once you get in a position of power, sometimes they don't want to give up that power.
You know, changing gears again, we've just down to about 5 minutes left on this broadcast. Did see a couple with all the death and destruction and tornadoes and flooding and just the wrath of God being poured out. I did see, you know, God's word and how his people truly respond to him sometimes does slip by some of these Antichrist media folks. But just wanted to share this with the people. Did see two different articles. One, they were interviewing a man, and he said that they were in a car and a tree fell on it and crushed it down. And he said, you know, if we hadn't have been in the car, we surely would have died. And he said, if my boy hadn't have been screaming, Jesus save us, I think we'd have died.
Amen.
And that made it out. Now, I know whether that stays in the news or not, but saw that one slipped by him. And then there was another one about a lady with her two grown daughters, like in a tanning salon. And tornado came and was just ripping it apart. And the girls were, you know, crying and screaming that, oh, we're going to die, we're going to die. And the mom kept saying, just pray, just pray, just pray. And the three of them made it out. I just wanted to share that even in this wrath of destruction, it's apparent that God still has, you know, his remnant in there. And that he is able, and he did bring some of his remnant through these storms, and will continue to.
They're turning back and going to cry out to their Lord Jesus Christ. Jason, what else you got to say?
I was thinking about Matthew 12, verse 25, that says, "And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand." And it wasn't that long ago that we put out, you know, dividing Satan in his kingdom. Verse 26 says, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And that's when we started working on trying to divide Satan's kingdom. And, you know, Satan's had a big thing going for a long time, you know, because he had never been fought against. His forces, his principalities, his demons, you know, they were never... I don't think, looking through history, I don't think they've ever been got after or targeted properly. And when we noticed, well, I've noticed, and I was thinking about it today, is you look back and see when things started really changing in this country, and it's when Satan's kingdom started getting divided.
And when we started taking authority over him.
Exactly. And that's how we started dividing his kingdom. We started dividing it. We started cutting them off. We cutting them off the demons from their father, the devil. You know, the sons of the devil against from their fathers, and the kingdom started changing. And now we've got a land that is, well, right now, a lot big part of it is laid waste. It just like the scripture says.
Good point. How much time we got, Richard?
Oh, we're down to just a few minutes. If you want to kind of wrap things up, and we'll get a little bit of our infamous outro song.
Well, one thing I do think I need to be saying is that this coming Monday, 7 o'clock p.m., we will have a Passover service serving communion. This is your last chance for the year 2011 to keep that Passover. You're invited to do so. Have your communion ready. Have your fruit of the vine and some unleavened bread and a way of a wafer, something like that. Also, I'm working on a message now for tomorrow. And one of the things that I think I'm going to cover, I think the Spirit's leading me, is that Jesus said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And it's occurred to me that, Pastor, you need to talk to some of these people about endurance. That ties in with the toughness that Kyle was talking that men need to have, men and women. We need to know that Christ endured the cross for us. And we, in turn, are taught to endure to the end. And so I wanted to put that out in the way of a preview for tomorrow's Sunday Seer service. Men, you did a good job. You all get a silver spur today.
Well, thanks a lot. And thank you all for joining us.
Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, they climb.